Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poor Man's Podcast, Sports Extra with Sports Guy JP. Sports Guy JP, how are you this week?
I'm doing good. I'm looking off of last week's game, disappointing, but besides that, I feel pretty good.
Good. We're glad to hear you this week. This is picking up a little bit better than I expected. It seems to be doing just as good as the regular Poor Man's Podcast. So thank you for everybody who's listening. Please continue to listen, you know. Maybe we'll make a new page for it strictly for that so we can get some more sports talk. But it's something we both like doing, so let's keep doing that. What we don't like doing is watching games against Cincinnati where the Steelers look like garbage. JP, what were your takes away from this past week?
They're going to have a losing record. This is really the beginning of the end. It was Ryan Clark this week described it as an organizational failure and an end of an era, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, they definitely did not look good. I thought this was back. I remember posting it because it was Jordan Berry's birthday on Facebook, and I got in a fight with some guy on Facebook.
Well, in his defense, they have a losing record because of the punting game.
Yeah. You know what? They have the only reason they have one win is because of the punting game as well, the punt defense.
Right, right. You know, they would probably somehow be 4-0 in 3 weeks if they still had Chris Gardocki punting.
Yeah, I'm sure. what the hell was I getting at? Jordan Berry, that's right. Yeah. I predicted then that they were going to go 8-9, and after watching them play the last couple weeks, that seems pretty generous. I don't see how this offensive line's going to get any better. Bent's not getting any younger, and I think he's washed up anyway. I thought that last year. I didn't want to see, you know, I didn't think Mason Rudolph was the answer or Doc Hodges last year. But I thought Roethlisberger should have taken probably that time when he did get hurt and just called it a career then. I think we'd remember him more fondly. I think we're going to see him not burn out, but fade away. And this looks like it's the beginning of the fade, if not the middle of the fade.
His past few years, his numbers have been pretty good, but you have seen decline in his play. And I've seen that now, like against Vegas, he almost threw for 300, but he still did not play well. If you watch these games, he looks old. I heard their audible system is dated. I'm sure they're not willing to adapt to it.
He's like the old man stuck in his ways. He wants what he wants, and he wants what he's comfortable with, which is, like, essentially the no huddle and making it up as he goes because he doesn't want to open up to anything. He doesn't trust the offensive line. He doesn't seem like he's open to new Matt Canada ideas. So what are they doing?
Right. If you want to, like, you know, teach someone with a textbook instead of using your online resources to help teach, like, you know, it's the same ship. We're not learning, or they're not going to develop an efficient offense that can move the ball downfield if you're not willing to adapt to the NFL today. And I don't think Ben is physically capable. There's multiple reports that he doesn't work hard in the off season. He's lazy. He's done maybe a couple yoga sessions, and that's about it.
That seems to always have been kind of his shtick. He's never been the dietitian, the gym rat. And maybe he's been able to, you know, have that cover up his flaws, and now that he's getting older, he's not as mobile. The arm is definitely not what it used to be, or at least they're not willing to give it a go. Mm-hmm. And even if he is, it's not like he has time to do anything.
It's an honest issue between Ben and the offensive line, because Ben's not athletic enough to overcome an offensive line.
But few are with that offensive line. And right, it's both. Like, he's in a shitty situation, but he used to be able to work his way out of that, which is maybe, you know, not a fair assessment because, you know, you got to put your people in the position to succeed. The offensive line, nobody's going to succeed behind that offensive line. Maybe Lamar Jackson, you know, somebody who can run for his life, or out of Arizona. What the hell is his name? Kyler Murray. You know, somebody like that. Ben is not Kyler Murray.
Right. And like, even Arizona, you could see he's had, I mean, they're not known for their offensive line. It's been average play. But, you know, Kyler Murray still gets through his progressions, runs around, makes the plays he needs. So like I said, the O-line's not good
enough. Kyler Murray's also about a foot shorter than Ben Roethlisberger, so we need a rollout regardless because he can't see behind the offensive line.
Right.
But
so yeah, the line's not going to elevate Ben at this stage, and Ben's not going to elevate the line at this stage.
That's a way better way to put the garbage that I just mumbled out. But yes.
And I think, I mean, I've been very critical of the receiving corp for the Steelers, but I mean, when you have Claypool, Juju, Deontay, young talent, for as critical as I am on all of them, they're not going to get better with Roethlisberger. I think you put a better quarterback behind there, you'll see increase from all of those guys' performance.
Yeah, and maybe I'm missing it, but it seems like the Chase Claypool catchers are like to the sideline and he battles for him. It's not like, oh, I'm going to put this one on you, I'm going to throw you open. It's like, let's throw a quick screen or slant to Juju.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it's Ben just throwing up a prayer, hoping for it, you know? And I mean, maybe Ben's used to, he had all those years of Antonio Brown where you can do that, but when you don't have him, you can't do that.
Yeah,
and you know, you do see Claypool, like the catch he made on Buffalo on the sideline. He actually had 9 catches this past game for 96, but it's like everything is contested and he is making the catches not due to the accuracy of the football.
Right. They're making it way harder on him than mm-hmm. that needs to be. And when he is making catches, they're nice catches, but they're really not in position where, you know, is Joe Burrow going to throw that? No, he's going to fucking have a laser that goes out. Is Justin Herbert, who I think is going to be an absolute stud, he just flings it out there. Like, when you click from one game to the other, like, I think it was the Steeler game this week, and then the Chargers and Chiefs might have been on the other channel, or, I mean, with on the same, like, CBS versus Fox or whatever. Watching Mahomes and Herbert throw the ball around, like, it just really puts into perspective the age on his arm. Or the willingness to make the throws. But he also has time, so it is. It's like a chicken or the egg thing, but I think
even
both the chicken and the egg are rotten.
Last year, Chargers' offensive line struggled tremendously, but you still saw production out of Herbert. He is, I think, going to set this league on fire. Should have been drafted before Tua. I think Miami is a Super Bowl contender if they have Herbert instead of Tua. But they went with Tua. I see the Chargers, though. Like, I can't believe Kansas City is last in their division right now, and the Chargers are in third. Denver and Vegas are undefeated.
That won't last. And no. That's one of those that, like, oh yeah, it's a good story. I think that, you know, the level will the water will even out first.
That division will end in reverse order. Chiefs win, Chargers come in second. And Denver or Vegas, I don't know who's in technically in first, but I'm going to say it gets reversed by the end of the year. I think Denver's in second now, and I bet you they hang on longer. I like the way Von Miller's playing. Teddy Bridgewater is very careful with the ball, and you know it's incredible what you can do in this league when you just simply do not turn the ball over.
That's huge. You win the battle of the turnovers, and there's a good chance you're going to win the game.
Mm-hmm. And Vegas has played tremendous, but I'm not going to be sold on them yet. I've seen this stick with Vegas or the Raiders just in general all the time. Carr's playing great, but we'll see if he keeps it up.
There's always a handful of teams every year where it's like, oh, out of nowhere, they were good. And then by week 5, they're back to what they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, relating it to the AFC North, I'm seeing Steelers haven't had a losing season since 2003.
Yeah.
I've noticed. So I think that if there is an organization who might be able to overcome this dysfunction, it's the Steelers. They're not a dysfunctional franchise, but I think that like this is an honest wake-up call for this organization. They're just not used to losing, and it's like everyone has gotten worse. It's almost like the
Do you think it's an organizational arrogance where it's like this won't happen to us, or do you think it's just their time?
I think it's a time thing because if you remember, I don't know how many years, maybe a decade ago or so, when I think it was one off season, they lost Ferrier, Polamalu, Aaron Smith, and like
leader,
Larry
leader,
Fletcher,
leader,
so there's someone
leader,
else,
right.
All to retirement, and then it's just like, what are we going to do about, you know, the defense or this? But now I see it in the quarterback, like Roethlisberger is gone. After this year, most like offensive line is gone. Like these are now positions, you know, when we lost Polamalu and all them at that age, it was kind of locker room guys.
Yeah.
This is like what you need to win in today's NFL, offensive line and quarterback. Yeah. And they do not have it.
Right. And we keep saying offensive line and quarterback like it's like two things. That's six positions. That's more than half of the offense.
Yes. Yeah,
so we don't have legit starters at the majority of the offensive positions.
And it's the most important ones. Like, a quarterback can overcome a bad offensive line, or an offensive line could help a not-so-good quarterback elevate to a tremendous level. They don't have either.
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah, you definitely need both. It looks like it's going to be a long, rough year. Do you see any future in any of the quarterbacks on the Steelers? You think they just... I mean, look at us. It's week three. That does show a lot about what fans in Pittsburgh are like. We're talking about the draft for next year because yeah. They're 1-2. But I think it's also honest because, you know, I think last year the 11 wins in the beginning is a fluke. I don't think this team's nearly as good as people think they were. I don't know that they're as bad as they've shown, but they need to do something different. And I think it's like, well, if we just keep doing what we're doing, it's bound to work. No, it's not. And I think everybody knows what to expect.
I expected better. I know the defense was down. TJ Watt to it was still out. They had injuries. However, that doesn't overcome what I'm seeing on the offensive side of the ball. Roethlisberger threw the ball 58 times, one touchdown, two interceptions. Najee Harris, 14 carries, 40 yards, an average of 2.9 a carry. This is a reflection on the offensive line, I think.
I think Najee Harris has looked as good as he could with everything. You know, with all the variations, with all the variables, I mean, with the offensive line, with the quarterback, with no passing game deep down the field.
Yeah, much like.
Why would you not have, you know, the box stacked or whatever? I mean, they're getting a pass rush with three or four guys half the time. It's just such a bad, like, I don't think any defense fears the Steelers.
Well, this is reminding me, you know, Saquon Barkley, you see it now, tremendous talent, who's just not getting room behind that line. You saw it with Todd Gurley early in his career, where, you know, the Rams, before they had McVay and Goff, they struggled. Gurley was their guy, phenomenal player, couldn't establish anything with him.
Yeah,
yeah, and you see it, Najee got also added 14 catches for 102. But then again, that's not so much Najee's not Le'Veon Bell catching the ball out of the backfield. This is Ben checking it down because no one's blocking for him and he can't throw downfield anymore. Yeah. That's where you see those checkdowns. I heard he threw 13 balls behind the line of scrimmage.
That's insane.
Including the one on 4th and 10 with the game on the line.
I was just about to ask about is that the 4th and 10 from the 11? The one that was almost 4th and goal?
That yeah, there's like 3 or 9 left in the game, down 2 possessions, and they threw a screen.
How do you do that? And I understand, like, even if you did think there was going to be a blitz or a rush and everyone was going to come in and you could dump it over top and maybe have some blockers downfield, you need to let that play develop at least a second more.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, hut, throw.
Yeah, yeah. You can't do that. I feel like when you look at, you know, when the game's on the line, you got to put the ball in the end zone. I didn't even see. Now,
even get a PI call, man. Chase Claypool comes down with a pass interference call almost every game. You just throw it up there. I like that call a lot more. I like it a lot more than let's throw it in the backfield to the running back and not block for him. Like, what? You're going to have the wide receivers run them off or something, or have them be the lead blocker? I mean, Najee can break tackles, but you throw it to him 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage or whatever, so it's 4th and 10. Let's throw it behind the line of scrimmage. So now you got to make 15 on your own. Mm-hmm. I don't like that play call at all.
I didn't see it either. I think in that situation, you need to put the ball in the end zone.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They have two giant tight ends, too, and it doesn't seem like they get that. Chase Claypool's a giant. Throw it up, get a PI call. Like I said, there's a lot of things that can happen, but what you can't do is throw it in the backfield immediately. And not set him up. They're like, they draft a running back and they're like, okay, this will fix a run game, but it can't without the foundation up front. And there's no foundation and no time and there's no respect for it.
And it was bad. It wasn't even like, you know, a Rams Titans Super Bowl where Mike Jones makes a tackle on the goal line. This was like, we're going to check it down behind the line of scrimmage And, like, it just blew. It went.
He didn't even go through, like, progression. Like, it wasn't like, okay, they're all back down the field. It was like the play design was like, let's hit Najee quick.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It seemed like that
was not a fourth and 10 play with the game on the line. I mean, you don't get it there. It's not like your offense has been beating it down. Like, you need points there. You need to make that happen. And it seemed like a bad play call. I don't know if he checked out of it or whatever happened. I remember hearing that they said they ran out of plays. Did you hear that?
Oh, my gosh. I heard
that's not an acceptable answer.
I heard they had
that's not an acceptable answer in high school.
Yes, 100%. I heard they had a limited, like, no-huddle playbook, but I didn't hear they ran out of plays, so they called us. If you run out of plays, run the same play.
Right.
What do you tell when you're playing pickup football? Do a post, do a streak, do whatever it
That's when Roethlisberger claims to be his best, too, is, like, in the making things happen out of nothing. The, oh, my God, I can't think of what it... You know what I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, to piggyback off that, I heard Tyler Boyd just, you know, quoted saying that the Steelers, he felt quit. He felt just from playing the game that they quit on him. And multiple local guys for the Steelers, Tim Benz, Mark Madden, reporting, they say they don't think the Steelers quit. They're just a bad team.
Yeah.
And that's how I think it is, too.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers are playing the way they're playing because there's a lack of effort or, like, a cancer in the locker room. I think Ben's washed up, and I think it's a bad offensive line. It's a young offensive line, but I don't know that it's like, you know, there have been young offensive linemen in the league before, but there's not a lot of pedigree and a lot of potential, I don't think, with this group.
I don't either. I see they're strong, too. And Ryan Clark also this week said, you know, he was criticized because he initially criticized the Micah Fitzpatrick trade because he felt the Steelers – he said needed a succession plan for Roethlisberger, and then trading away the pick, traded that away. He said that Fitzpatrick has panned out and has played tremendous, but again, that's a safety. Like, you need a court. Like, they're strong at positions.
Yeah.
That are more of a,
I think,
a luxury to have more so than a necessity.
Yeah, there. I mean, there are obviously you need somebody who can pass the ball and someone who can rush the passer. They have one guy who can rush the passer for sure. I'm not sold on Highsmith, but they have to also stay healthy. But I think Minkah Fitzpatrick was a good trade, and I think at the time, I mean, that was when Roethlisberger was still healthy, right? That was before he got hurt?
No, that was actually after he got hurt.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I was going to say, but that was kind of like their last best chance, I think, was getting another defensive guy there and making it happen. And that defense, the defense has been, I think, pretty decent for the last couple years. I don't know about the defensive backs in the years to come, but it seems like they might be in for a downswing for the next couple years, which is disappointing because that's when TJ Watt's going to be at the prime. You got a lot of guys like that. So
I'm hoping all their cap room doesn't get locked up on Watt and Fitzpatrick because they're reported. They should have the most cap space next year, assuming Roethlisberger's not there, but I'm afraid it's all going to get tied up in Fitzpatrick and Watt, two tremendous players, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl paying those guys and not, a productive offensive line and a quarterback. And then, again, Claypool's deal is going to be up in a few years, so you're going to find a way to pay him. It's a lot of money down the road, especially if they want to keep, Tua on a contract or Devin Bush if he plays for it.
I think besides this last one with Roethlisberger, I think he's past his prime, but I think the Steelers usually do a pretty good job of getting rid of guys before they're really hamstringing the team.
I think so, too. They're usually pretty well run. New England gets rid of guys a year early, they say, and I think Pittsburgh does a pretty good job of that as well. Bengals snapped a 75-game sack streak for the Steelers as well.
And what was that? Oh, the Steelers didn't get a sack.
They didn't sack Burrow once. Roethlisberger was dropped four times.
And that's impressive because Burrow was hit quite a bit the 2 weeks previous, right? I thought he was leading the league and being sacked with like 10.
Yeah, and it's offense. Even last year, he was getting hit throughout the course of the year before his injury at a high level. And again, this year, offensive line in Cincy is a work in progress. However, you know, Highsmith out in addition to Watt and Tuitt, they didn't record a single sack. pass rush just simply wasn't there, and Burrow was able to pick him apart. Jamar Chase's touchdown, I think, was kind of like the difference maker. His before the half, that's that guy's. I heard Burrow connected on 2 go balls last year.
Yeah,
this was already Jamar Chase's 3rd touchdown on a go ball right. this year. So they've really have, you know, tightened it up. And I think I initially would have said since he should have taken the tackle, but I think Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow have really panned it out this year. And I think since he's trending in the right way,
I think you like having, like, for Cincinnati, having Burrow with somebody he's comfortable with, and Chase playing with him in college. Just having that kind of connection. I think doing small things every now and then to in favor of your quarterback, especially when you expect him to be there. And it's not like it was like a scrub against an offensive lineman. Like, he's a beast wide receiver, and he's probably going to. I like the way Cincinnati's offense is probably going to be for the next couple years.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I think after this week, it's concerning because we're not talking about Cleveland or Baltimore. But Pittsburgh is not better than Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And that is concerning.
I agree.
I was bigger on Cincinnati than a lot of people were. They're a work in progress, but they're trending in the right way. Just like Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh is not. And they're going to have to figure it out.
I agree. I think 3 of the 4 teams in the AFC North are with an arrow up, and there's one definitely down, if not more than one arrow going down. I thought Harris looked good. JP, what do you think about the pass or not the pass interference call, the roughing the quarterbacks call? There were 2. There's 1 against the Steelers and 1 for the Steelers a little bit after, and they both seemed really kind of tic-tac.
They're pushing. I think even with the taunting penalties, these roughing penalties are always questionable. They're like over-cautious to protect quarterbacks, and I feel like that's more of a league issue than a player issue. You know, I think it's... If you have your hand come down on a quarterback's helmet after you jumped up to defend a pass, and you're calling that roughing the passer, and that's not roughing the passer, in my opinion.
I think that's more the letter of the law than the spirit of the law, and you have to look at it and see, was that roughing? Like, I'm glad they err on the side of safety, especially for the quarterbacks. Like, the quarterback's the one position where you're not running, you're not really defending yourself, you're sitting duck, and you just get beat. So I think you should, you know, especially below the knee and at the headshots, you have to protect the quarterback. But at the same time, when you see that, like, who was it? Ingram that rushed it. He made contact with his hand or whatever, or his shoulder. It seemed like it wasn't a call.
And it's like, I agree with being overly precautious for quarterbacks. But then again, it's like, do you really also, as an officiating standpoint, do you really want to change this game? 15 yards in the first down builds drives longer. 7 points changes an entire game. That is a powerful call.
15 yards is almost 3 points with how some of these kickers kick.
Yeah, if you get Justin Tucker, 66-yarder to win it.
Right, you don't even have to be on the side of the field.
I had a discussion the other day with somebody. If you had a kicker, argument's sake, automatic from 66, 67 is always a miss.
Okay.
Would you draft that guy first round? Top 10, maybe?
If he was guaranteed to hit from 60, so all I have to do is cut the football field in half?
That's what I'm saying. You get it.
I mean, that means if you take, say you had a quarterback or a receiver or a running back that you were guaranteed him scoring a touchdown every other possession, that's almost the same as having a kicker that can make a kick from half the field every possession.
That's what I'm saying. You kick off, kneel it, get a touchback, move the ball for a couple first downs, like, you're in field goal range.
Yeah, that's something to think about, definitely. I mean, there's no way of guaranteeing that, though, so.
No, it's impossible. It was just something.
Tucker's kick was amazing. It was also in a dome. Not that I'm taking anything away from him, because it's the longest kick ever. And if you look at the other kicks, a lot of them are either in Denver or in a dome.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely some help with a lot of that, but 66 yards is insane.
I liked watching it because it almost something I've been saying for years was kind of validated. I've been saying Justin Tucker's the best kicker in history. People would like to play it off and say Vinatieri is, but I think Tucker, many people were saying best ever after he hit it. I think when it comes to anyone who is automatic from 50 and within, probably beyond 50, like, he is the best
Tucker, kicker I've ever seen. Tucker has more range than Vinatieri ever has. And like Vinatieri is known for the clutch kicks and stuff, but you can't really fault Tucker because it's not like he missed any kicks. Like he's kicked everything he can.
Vinatieri missed a lot of stupid kicks too.
Yeah,
throughout his career, and I mean, you know, I feel like people love to give Vinatieri the credit. I like Vinatieri, but then again, it's like, don't you think 90% of the other kickers would hit those field goals for Tom Brady?
Yeah, but I mean, there's something to be said about those who did, and I don't think kickers then are as automatic as they are now. I mean, not that it's like the difference between like the 70s and now. Like within 40, they're automatic, but now like it's like if you miss a 50 yarder, you're trash, which that was never the case 15 years ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say too. Another side note. Last week on the show, when I was praising how quarterbacks are so well developed and easier to find now than ever for the Steelers defense, how about the rookie play from every quarterback this past week? And honestly, thus far this season, it's been much, much worse than I anticipated.
Oh, I thought you were going to say better because I was looking and I was like, Zach Wilson's kind of trash. Not that he's trash, but like he hasn't put up numbers.
Zach Wilson,
Justin Fields got Matt Jones, destroyed. Justin Fields,
Trey Lance, the five first rounders. Trey Lance played what, one snap last week and played the best among all of those quarterbacks. It's been, I don't know if these are like guys playing on bad teams.
I mean, for like, Trevor Lawrence, I think it is for Zach Wilson. I mean that is like the flip side of the coin.
They're
1-2
in interceptions. They're tied for number one.
Yeah. But I mean, if you look at Peyton Manning's rookie year, he wasn't great, and they went what 1-15 or something.
And yeah, but then again, that was 98. But now, maybe it's unfair for these guys. But like, we're also kind of comparing them to, you know, I want to see what Kyler Murray did as a rookie. When, you know, he won rookie of the year and was awesome. Or when, you know, like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff played well young, or well, not young, but throughout their careers.
There's a new standard that has been set.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
the... Like, in comparison with, you know, when there was new quarterbacks, like when Roethlisberger came in, and if you look at Roethlisberger's numbers his rookie year, I mean, they weren't astronomical. He had the wins, but it's not like he was putting up Pro Bowl numbers.
Right, yeah, definitely more of a winning thing.
It used to be a thing where you had to work at it, and, like, Rodgers would sit on the bench for 2 years or whatever, and then you worked it out. Now it's like, if you're not winning the division by week 4 as a rookie quarterback, you're not as impressive as guys that have been. So maybe it's an unfair way to measure quarterback play, but I mean, it is what it is now. They've been impressive and they're beginning to be more impressive, but this year is maybe an outlier or back to the way things have been.
Big on a lot of these guys this year.
But like we said, it is week 3.
Yeah. Matt Jones was the only one I didn't really like a lot. He threw 3 interceptions this past week. Justin Fields was held to 68 passing yards.
The Bears looked bad.
They looked bad, yeah. Cleveland, Myles Garrett sacked him 4.5 times, and that's who the Steelers line is going to have to deal with, that guy. You know, if you can't block, but like, how are you going to play Buffalo, Vegas, and Cincinnati? And be criticized every minute in between the weeks on your offensive line and expect to block Myles Garrett. That's concerning.
What are they going to do? Are they going to leave extra guys in to block them and not actually block them? Now there's going to be 2 guys running routes with max protection and Ben can't throw it anyway. This Steelers offense is in trouble, I think.
It's bad. They've gone early win against Buffalo, which is nice. But, like, I mean, I don't see 7 more wins to get to 8.
Yeah, but this is going to be like, you know, how every year the Steelers have had the Raiders or something where it's like, oh, they lost to a bad team. I think at the end of the year, they might look back at Buffalo and say, they lost to a bad team in the Steelers.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I think Buffalo's picking it up. But, yeah, they did not, like, honestly, Buffalo just did not play well in week 1. And like I said, Steelers are walking on eggshells, and we're seeing if they will break or not.
Plus, they had a special teams touchdown. Their defense was playing different. They had
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the eggshells didn't break that day because they blocked a punt. Simple as that. And it was sloppy play. This is It's almost like watching Tebow play, where it's like, this is horrible, 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 horrible. Then all of a sudden he wins, but they're not winning.
Yeah. It's not a way to have success long term. What do you think about next week? What's the spread for the Steelers-Packers? How many points are the Steelers getting?
Last I saw, Steelers were plus 7.
Oh, that's fair. That's right around where I thought. I might even take the Packers with that.
It's a lot. If I'm not touching it, but if I had to touch it, I'd probably take Green Bay. Steelers, they're
playing in Green Bay, right?
Roethlisberger's career record is, I don't know the exact number, it's a winning record against Aaron Rodgers throughout his career, though, I believe. Uh-huh. Having said that, Aaron's...
They probably only played like 3 times. They also, he lost to him in the Super Bowl. That was a big loss.
Yeah, that was a bad Mendenhall fumbling. Yeah. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers, who did not report to camp this year, still is in better shape than Roethlisberger, still seemed to have been more involved. Roethlisberger claimed to have been more involved this offseason. He's old, and it's like, why are you even doing this for me now? It's like Brady's been doing it every year. Guys put in the time, you don't. Now all of a sudden you're trying to be the hero by, you know, spending a... Like, it's not like he's going above and beyond. You're doing the expectation of what we would expect from every other quarterback in this league.
Well, he's never done it, and then he's gotten away with it, so people are like, oh, well, he can do what he wants. And now, like, for every age after, you have to put more and more into it. It's not like Brady's like, okay, well, I've won 4 Super Bowls, so now I can chill. Like, he's doubled down each year.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not fair for everyone to always compare everyone to Tom Brady.
Well, he's the outlier in everything, but even like I would believe Philip Rivers spent time watching film in the offseason. Yeah. Someone who's almost equivalent is Ben when you look at the careers.
Yeah, you have a guy who's naturally talented and has let that cover up for some of the flaws mm-hmm. or planning or whatever, just going out and beating people, and now his body's catching up to him. What do you think about the Steelers-Packer game? You said you wouldn't touch it. Do you think the Packers just beat them up?
Green Bay's defense is like mid-tier. I think Za'Darius Smith should get after Ben a couple times. But it's not top-notch.
Is there a better receiver in the league than Davante Adams?
That was going to be my next point. Was going to be who's covering Davante Adams? Are we going to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers? You know, these are questions we don't need to ask. I think Hayden will blanket Adams, but I don't see that as a lockdown by any means. I think...
Right, he might blanket him like Stephon Diggs and give up 60 yards or 70 yards. Which, the end of the day, if it's what Aaron Jones is going to run on him, like, I think the Packers are gonna cover.
Yeah, I think Adams is even better than Diggs, despite public opinion. I think he should have a big day. I think... Aaron Jones, like I said, I like the running game. Offensive line still produces, even with Bakhtiari out. I think they're just not going to get the pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and he should carve them up pretty well. Aaron has not put up MVP numbers, but he has been proficient after that week one blowout.
Yeah. I mean, with zero preparation and stuff, how old is Aaron Rodgers now? He's in his later 30s, right?
Yeah, he's about 37 or so. Okay.
Have you heard any of these rumors about him possibly coming to Pittsburgh? I think that's just speculation that people like to talk about and stuff like that. It was because I guess somebody asked Rodgers about the Steelers next week, and he seemed to be, you know, into the idea. He liked Tomlin and all that stuff, but I don't see that happening. That's just a nice story to hear.
I think Aaron's hitting the market. I've heard this will be his last year in Green Bay. I think he enjoyed Denver. They had a connection, and I could see him playing there. And honestly, I mean, you get Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant. These are young guys that can play. Better line and better defense. Defenses are about even. I think he prefers Denver over Pittsburgh, and I don't think the Steelers put up the cash to sign Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think he would just go with a better team in hopes to win another ring? Because this defense that the Steelers have, when healthy, I think is as good as any defense. And I think, you know, given a quarterback that still has something left in the tank and, you know, another year, maybe they bring in an offensive lineman. Like, I know this is all speculation, but that's what sports talk is. I'd like to bring somebody in who can win now. I mean, it might not be great for down the road, but I'm thinking of the guys that they have on defense. I want them to be productive while they have a good defense still.
A big thing, too, is ever since Brady signed of Tampa Bay, I think Aaron likes the idea of, you know, Brady recruiting guys like Gronk, Leonard Fournette, AB.
Yeah.
He wants the – I think he wants to go to a team that will give him a say in, you know, how they run things.
Yeah.
And I don't see Pittsburgh doing that.
No.
Uh-huh. And I think Denver, honestly, could be a good win-now team. However, that division is stacked.
Yeah.
Steelers division is stacked. You know, one thing Brady did that was smart was, well, Drew Brees is getting old. Falcons don't know what they're doing. Panthers aren't necessarily a good team right now. I'll go to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, but, I mean, you could also say if he stayed in his division, that's the case too, other than the Bills of recently. The one thing Brady has had, not that like I'm diminishing anything, but he's played in a garbage division. Like, he's made the playoffs every year, but like, a lot of teams that had the Patriots, I think, with the Bills and the Jets and the Dolphins, who have sucked annually for 25 years.
Anti-Brady argument from the Brady haters, which they're not intelligent.
Oh, once you're in the playoffs, it's a different thing anyway, and I think Brady's the best to ever play.
But that is the only anti-Brady argument I respect.
Yeah. Well, it's the only legitimate one. And you can say, he cheats and shit, but yeah. I think a lot of people do, and I get getting caught, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's been a squeaky clean resume, but I don't think losing, you know, a little PSI versus a lot of other things. Like,
well, if you think of the 70s Steelers, I mean, they were all roided up and using Stick'Em and stuff, but no one cares. Like, I mean, like, all of that gives you a bigger advantage. If you have a starter on your team that is healthy against a team who has one starter that's injured, that is already a bigger advantage than a slightly deflated football. Like, end of story. It's an excuse because the Colts lost and they could have used just a beach ball and, you know, New England still would have stomped them.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the way that Peyton Manning threw it at the end with Denver was like he was throwing a beach ball, and that's how Ben looks right now.
Right. I was going to say, too, for the game next week, Steelers and Green Bay. I'm taking Green Bay. I don't see, like I've heard, I think this really is the changing of the guard. The Kendrick Green graded a 52 almost last week.
He's been such a disappointment to me.
He stinks.
Yeah.
And the one thing Steelers did well last week, if anything, was when they ran no huddle, I think they looked decent. They looked better. Najee and Claypool, I think, you know, when Juju was hurt and they couldn't play Deontay Johnson, they were then limited. And it's like you're now forcing the ball to Claypool and Harris, who are, ironically, your two best players on the field.
Yeah.
Which I think benefited a little bit, but it was too late at that point. Ben's been successful throughout his career running no huddle. Maybe they do it more this week, but I don't know how structured – you know, have a game plan.
And even with that, like, I think that works a drive or two, but can you rely on that all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people respect it. I don't think anybody respects the Steelers offense.
No. And it's going to be an issue this week. I totally forgot. Jari Alexander is one of the great corners in this league. If they tell him to blanket Claypool, and then we'll say if Juju and Deontay cannot play, Alexander gets Claypool, I mean, they're going to struggle to move that ball. They can't run.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a rude awakening.
And maybe they need to. And maybe this is officially the end of an era. It appears as though it's – I don't think they're going to make any late surge. And, you know, you have a almost 40-year-old quarterback with a surgically repaired arm. You don't see them bouncing back like that.
And I don't like the argument of we all play – Dwayne Haskins or Rudolph or something. Because, like, I heard, you know, after Ryan Clark made his comments about the Fitzpatrick trade, about saying we needed a replacement, and Rex Ryan mentioned, you know, they probably would have taken Dwayne Haskins with that pick, so maybe we'll play him and see what he can do. No, like, this guy's already has proven that he doesn't work hard. You know, he cares more about the attention, I think, than playing on the field. He had an issue, like, at a strip club a year ago or so, and it's like, I want a guy who's all in. Either you get a Brady or Peyton who will study, or you get a naturally gifted athlete. And Ben Rudolph and Haskins, these guys aren't mobile enough or athletic enough to overcome what we have, nor are they, you know, the genius mind that, you know, Brady and Peyton.
Well, maybe they need to just have the offensive line in there, get their bumps and bruises. Hopefully they get some kind of rapport working together and fight another year, but it's disappointing the way they
Trey look. Turner, though, was the highest graded Steeler this week with a 71.6. So, I mean, that's good for him. But then again, one guy on your line out of fives.
And the way the offensive line works, like if they're not all working in one cohesive unit, then I mean, it's great to have one guy, but when 20% is grading at, you know, average, that's a problem.
And, you know, 66% of your grades have been bad to this point as well. Right. And now you graded well against a team who doesn't really get after the quarterback.
Yeah, and now they're going against the Packers. So I think it's going to be a long season for people in Pittsburgh. Hopefully hockey starts soon. Now let's get into your picks this week, JP. You said you had a rough go of it last week.
Yeah, I think I may have gone 1 out of 5 last week. It was a really bad outing. So hopefully for this week, it's better.
Yeah.
They've disappointed, but I'm going to stick with Kansas City. I'm going to go with -7.5 for Kansas City against Philadelphia.
I think this is the week the Chiefs bounce back and make a statement and win by 20.
I think so too. I think, unlike the Steelers, they've been ran better as an organization. And I think Andy Reid and Mahomes, because Mahomes cares. I don't see that in Ben. I think they care.
He's a guy with natural talent that also puts in the work.
Yeah, and is a leader. I think they're going to, you know, they're going to get on the same page again. They're going to, you know, Reid will cut them into a new one if they have to. Mahomes will agree with them, and they'll come out firing. They're a better team than 1-2. I still like them to come out of the AFC at the bare minimum this year. Philly, Jalen Hurts is now 2-5 as a starter. They struggled against Dallas, who's not known for defense. But I know, like, Trayvon Diggs had a pick 6, and they're getting after him. Hurts just it looks like he's a great athlete who sometimes struggles to read, you know, his receivers downfield and to make the throws efficiently.
He's still a young guy, and like we were saying earlier in the show, like we judge quarterbacks on a new level now because there's been such success in rookie quarterbacks and stuff, but still, he's played, what, under 20 games?
Yeah, he's played 7 career games, right. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that ends up, but before I forget about it, I believe Vegas still has the Chiefs as the favorite. For the Super Bowl. So, like, that shows the confidence they have in the Chiefs to bounce back. And Vegas usually knows what they're talking about.
I know Tyreek Hill is coming off 2 slower weeks. Look for him to get back involved. Philly's corners aren't necessarily the best. Receivers are still an issue. So, I don't see them as a high-scoring team. I see Kansas City as a high-scoring team.
All right. So, we have the Chiefs as your first pick. What else we got?
Pick number 2, Seattle disappointed again, but I'm going to roll with them. I'm a Russell Wilson guy, plus he's getting a field goal. So Seattle +3 against San Francisco. Francisco's coming off that tough loss to Green Bay last week. But look for Seattle plus the field goal. Like, I just have to take Russell Wilson.
What's the story with San Francisco this year? Is Jimmy G anything? It seems like, I mean, obviously you want to take a quarterback with your first pick if you thought he was the future, but they seem like they're in a kind of a weird in-between position.
So they're a great team who dealt with injuries last year. So I see them as still as a playoff team. The thing I like the Trey Lance move in a way because it shows balls on Kyle Shanahan. He sees we have Jimmy Garoppolo who can win us games. However, I don't know if he's good enough to elevate us to a Super Bowl level. And I think that Trey Lance, I think, gives them another element, the running. You know, the mobility, something you don't see in Jimmy G. And Jimmy G is, I mean, they're very likely he'll get an injury or so. He's injured every season. And I think that, you know, this is a way to balance the injury and also elevate your team.
Yeah.
He's played, he's not playing at a Pro Bowl level, but he's playing at an exceptional level thus far through 3 weeks as well.
Garoppolo or Lance?
Garoppolo.
Okay.
Yeah, Lance, I think, has only played a couple snaps or a few snaps, but he's already scored a passing and rushing touchdown. But
I mean, it was, what, 2 years ago the 49ers were in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
So, I mean, they still have talent on that team, although it's not the same team that made it there. And I believe they said that Garoppolo threw like 8 passes in that NFC Championship game. So it's not like they made it because of him. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, we're relying on Jimmy G to get us back there.
Right, right. He's a good quarterback on a great team, and when you have that, you can win games. But I don't know if he's enough to get you the Lombardi.
All right. What do we got next?
All right. So Seattle plus 3 is my next pick. Last pick. This next pick, I'm a little iffy on this, but I'm gonna go with it. Colts are 0-3, but I like them to get their first win this week. They are plus 2.5 against Miami.
Are you more up on the Colts or down on the Dolphins?
I think they're about evenly matched. I'm down on both a little bit, actually. I expected better from both. However, Tua is still injured. There's a chance Brissett's the starting quarterback this week. I'm not big on Tua either, though. I think Colts get T.Y. Hilton back. They should be more... what am I looking for? I think they will elevate, you know, their play this week. I think after starting 0-3 for a well-run organization like them, and I like the coach, Frank Reich, I think they're going to get their first victory this week, and they're going to do so by, through the play of their offensive line, who's played well. I think they're going to run the ball more of Jonathan Taylor. They got to get him involved more, which is why I think they've been, you know, unsuccessful thus far. And plus, Miami just has not played as well as I had hoped. They pride themselves on Flores and their D-backs. However, I think Carson Wentz should be able to, you know, move the ball against Miami efficiently. And I don't see Miami moving the ball against the Colts as well as I see the Colts moving the ball against the Dolphins.
Fair enough.
So I'm not big on Carson Wentz necessarily, but I think that he should get his first victory this week.
Is he fully healthy now?
Yeah, he had the ankle injury. Both ankles were injured last week. He still played through it, so I'm assuming that he should be healthier this week.
All right, what else we got?
Now these are the two picks I'm a little bit more confident in. I like the Rams minus 4.5 against Arizona.
Okay, are they playing in Los Angeles?
No, they're playing at Arizona.
Okay.
Having said that, though, I think the Rams thus far through 3 weeks, if I had to say who has been the best team in the NFL, it's been the LA Rams through 3 weeks.
The Rams have looked incredible.
Yes.
I love the Stafford move.
Stafford move, I loved from the get-go. I thought, they gave up a pretty penny for him, but again, it's what the Niners are doing with Trey Lance. They know Jared Goff's good, but he can't get us to win it. So I think Matt Stafford is why he is there.
Matt Stafford has looked a lot more poised and stuff than I expected him to.
Yeah, and Stafford, I mean,
because he played in Detroit his whole year with, I mean, there's not a magnifying glass on you as much. Now he's in Los Angeles with a good Super Bowl caliber team, and he hasn't missed a beat.
Right. I mean, he played over a decade for the Lions. I mean, this is a team where Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders retired in their primes, putting up record-breaking numbers, and just quit because they didn't want to play for that team. They haven't had a good coach necessarily. Talent's been an issue. Playoffs, I think, 2 times in Stafford's career. And now he's finally, on a team that has a great wide receivers, good line, great coach, very good defense with Ramsey and Donald. I think they have played better than anybody thus far. And if I know, like, Carr and Brady have put up the numbers, but I think Stafford through 3 weeks has been the best player in the NFL. And I think Cooper Kupp has been the best receiver thus far through 3 weeks. And this is going to be, I think this team is a handful. Like,
I don't think they fear anyone.
What was that?
I don't think they fear anyone. I think they know they can hang with anyone and they should fear them. There's a lot of teams
they play with a speed, a swagger, and confidence, and even like a mindset that's just like, we're better than you. Like, we will develop a game plan that's better than anybody's, and we will go out and execute it better than anybody.
And it seems like the players have complete faith in their coach as well.
Yes, and you could tell McVay loves his players, players love him, and this is a good team that I think is going to be around for a while. Stafford, too, is only – he's in the early 30s, you know, and you know, 32 or 33, which is much younger in today's NFL than it was even a few years ago.
Especially for a quarterback.
So look for him to be around for a while, especially if a team like this. Arizona also has not beaten the Rams since 2017.
Oh, wow.
Side note. Yeah, in all of those games, Rams have won by more than 4.5 points as well.
Oh, and now the Rams are probably a better team than any of the ones they've played in the last. I mean, I know they made a Super Bowl, but I like them with Stafford a lot more than Goff.
Yeah, yeah. And it's tough. I mean, division games are always tough to bet because these teams know each other so well. I think that hurts the Cardinals in this case because so many teams don't know what they're doing with Kyler Murray. I think the Rams have, you know, they've seen him already a few times and they could adapt better, whereas the Cardinals have never seen Matt Stafford for the Rams.
What are your thoughts on Kingsbury?
Kingsbury, I think he brings like that young youth energy and a new style of offense to his team.
Yeah.
However, I think he's kind of on the lower end of these younger coaches, like a LaFleur or McVay.
I was just going to say, because he reminds me of that whole era of like those younger coaches and LaFleur.
He's more of a Zach, what's his name? Zach Taylor for Cincy.
Yeah.
I think more so than the others. He's, I think a 16-18-1 career record. In his defense, though, he was the worst team when he drafted Kyler Murray, which was a right pick. Isaiah Simmons picked me in second year. I didn't really like. I think he should have taken a lineman to protect Murray. But, I see moments of greatness from the Cardinals and moments of, you know, what are you doing? I'd like to see more consistency of that team. I think he's trying to build an organ or build a good roster, but I'm not necessarily sure he's even, you know, building a playoff team at this rate because that division is just so talented.
Yeah, that's rough top to bottom. Okay, so that is your fourth pick?
Uh-huh. Oh, and side note that I want to get into for the Seattle-San Fran, if you go back to that, Russell Wilson's 14-4 against the 49ers in his career.
Yeah.
14-4, so, I mean, I got to take that with a field goal.
Right, absolutely. Right. Oh, yeah, if it's a field goal. I always, you know, if it's a coin toss, I side on Russell Wilson.
Right.
Or whoever the quarterback in the matchup is.
Right. I mean, Garoppolo has a great career record. I'm taking Russell with the field goal.
If it's tied with 2 minutes left, like, Seattle will win.
Right, 100%. And my last pick, this is probably my favorite pick of the week. I get Baltimore +1 against Denver.
Okay. Baltimore's getting a point?
Yes.
Wow, they have a lot of respect for Denver.
So do you remember last year when the Steelers were 11-0 and everyone was loving them, and then you revisited their schedule and you were like, oh, if you weren't 11-0, you're horrible. So Denver is 3-0, coming off wins against who have they beaten? The Jets.
I was just going to say the Jets.
And let me find. They've beaten the Giants, Jaguars, and Jets.
I swear I had no idea, and I was going to say Jets and Jaguars have to be on it because those are like the two worst teams.
So guess three teams they beat. That's probably what you just said. Yeah.
Those might be the three worst teams.
Yeah, I mean, up all night with Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, and Daniel Jones, that's going to be a handful. So after playing those guys, Lamar Jackson's going to be a cakewalk. Take Denver, you know, -21, actually. You know, So Lamar Jackson's clearly a game changer, I think. You know, if I had to start a franchise quarterback, not named Mahomes, Lamar's up there strictly because of his ability to run and expand plays. You don't need a running back if you have Lamar Jackson.
He's a guy who's like, just put it on my back and I'll make it happen.
Yeah, and he did that against Kansas City this past week. Like, they knew he was getting the ball. They knew he was running, and he didn't. He took it.
I mean, speaking as a Steelers fan, like, we see it twice a year here, and Lamar Jackson can take over a game or break. Mm-hmm. Once he breaks contain, it's a wrap. And he's so elusive. He has these moves, these spins and stuff. Like he is just an open field, elusive runner.
And people don't understand, like, because I remember growing up when it was the scrambling quarterbacks were Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Culp. Guys,
Donovan McNabb was
he's fast for a quarterback. Lamar Jackson is not fast for a quarterback. He is fastest guy on the field.
Right.
Like I was thinking the other day, if you need to score a touchdown, and it's someone in the open field, I may take Tyreek Hill, and then Lamar Jackson at quarterback is number two.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a guy, his moves and, like, agility, it is so precise and clean. Like, you could tell he's not just moving to shake it. Like, he knows, you know,
the position
of the guy he's running against and how to use, like, everything is controlled.
Yeah.
And I love his, nobody cares, work harder mentality that he was wearing a t-shirt, I think a couple off seasons ago. People were calling him a running back and all this. And he's just like, oh, I don't care. Work harder. You know, it's more, you know, not victim driven or anything. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to do what it takes to get better. You can criticize how I throw the ball outside the numbers, but I'm going to work on it till I get better. And with Harbaugh as your coach, I mean, I expect great things coming out of Baltimore.
Yeah. I don't see the Steelers winning either game against Baltimore this year.
People were, you know, downplaying him with the Dobbins injury. Marcus Peters is a big loss. Having said it, I like the organization. I like the quarterback. And honestly, when they play a team like Denver, this is Denver's first test of the year. Denver has a very talented secondary, but I mean, Lamar doesn't throw the ball downfield. He'll hit Andrews and the tight ends and run the ball. And honestly, they have a line that can control the line of scrimmage with Ronnie Staley playing left tackle with him back. I think this is a team that knows how to construct long drives and score on those drives better than anyone. It's almost like the Tennessee Titans with elusiveness instead of power, so to speak.
Okay.
And, you know, I think they'll take over. I think the secondary from Denver will be neutralized. And I don't see Denver, if they go down by multiple scores, where they're confident enough to catch up against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Bradley Chubb is rolled out, I believe, already. So that's, you know, one pass rusher less that the Baltimore Ravens have to worry about. And, you know, 1 point, this is in favor of Baltimore. I don't understand what Vegas is seeing. Are they just looking at records and saying they're 3-0, they're the better team? Because
I think Vegas, you know, I think, like, better.
Jacksonville and the Jets were literally the two worst teams last season. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they're picking early. Giants are still a disaster. They may be the only team for worse offensive line than Pittsburgh, maybe. And yeah, of course, that's why Von Miller already has 4 sacks through 3 weeks. Baltimore's not a slouch. These other teams who quit after going down a score or two, like, Baltimore is going to hit you. And I just think they're a better coach and better, more physical team altogether than Denver. And you're giving me a point with it. I would take Baltimore -6.5, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to give me a point. Yeah, I'm taking Baltimore. That's going to be a walk.
Yeah, that sounds like it's, it sounds like they must know something we don't know. But I like Ravens straight up money line. And then if you're getting a point, like you said, that's
right.
It sounds
Jerry
like easy
Goody's
money.
Not going to play either. So look for Marlon Humphrey just to blanket Courtland Sutton too. Like, I mean, matchups are key here. Denver is always changing their running backs. They don't really have, like, a set system. I think Baltimore is ready for these guys.
I think with every game, it's about who's your quarterback and if you can stop the other team's quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I think Patrick Queen stepped up big time from the inside linebacker position. And Calais Campbell playing for Baltimore still. I think he's hungry to go to the playoffs and make a run at it. I think Baltimore is well aware too that a win over Denver puts them both at 3-1, and that could have wild card implications later. And I think Baltimore is just the better team.
I still like Baltimore out of the AFC North. I think they're the best team in the AFC North. I think they beat the Browns in a playoff game.
Absolutely. I think so too. I think Browns might have the best roster in the NFL, but when it comes to just.
And the Browns might have a better record at the end of the year, but if they meet each other in the playoffs, I like the Ravens over the Browns. I like Lamar Jackson over
absolutely.
Baker Mayfield.
I do too. Having said, I have been impressed with Baker Mayfield in his playoff performances thus far, even though it's only been 2 games. But
well, that one against the Steelers couldn't have given it away more.
Right.
It is different when you're playing with a lead and playing from behind. I think Lamar Jackson's more poised more ability to fight through diversity kind of thing.
Right, right. Lamar's, you know, mature. He's way more coachable than Baker Mayfield.
I agree. All right. we have anything else, JP? Any other picks today?
Those will be my five for this week. Green Bay is going to get a lot of points, but if I had to pick, I'd take Green Bay as well. It's a very tough week, actually. I was looking at these matchups. A lot of them are actually pretty tough to call. Even the Indy pick, I don't love, but you know, to get to five, I took it.
You know what? We make you do five picks each week. If you could do one locked pick, what do you say? Mm-hmm.
My one locked pick this week is that Baltimore one. Yeah. I really like that.
Because when you pick multiple, you know, games, it's more of a coin toss. When it's like, you know, if it was my money, you know, only pick one game and put it all on this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could do that. However, if you parlay, then you could bet a little to win a lot. You know, it's all about what you want to do.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I'll bet 100, you know, to win 1,400 on a parlay. If you're super confident, you could always throw, you know, 1,400 on Baltimore by themselves. But if you
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, instead of spending $20 on each game, I want to spend $50 on one.
Right, right. That'd be the way to do it. Another gambling advice. You guys can also tease if you're not familiar with what teasing is. So teasing is when you take a set of games, let's say 7-point teaser is what we're dealing with. You can edit it. According to FanDuel, I think you can go from anywhere to half a point to 14.
Okay.
And, you know, if you pick half a point, your odds are, you know, your payout's much greater, obviously, than if you pick 14. But you could essentially pick four games, five games, whatever it is, and let's say you do a 10-point teaser.
Uh-huh.
You then add 10 points to every team you picked, and then every team has to hit for you to win the money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a parlay, but you tease, and payouts aren't as good as a parlay, but you can get some guaranteed ones. Like, I think Houston this week is plus 16.5. I forget who they're playing, but you tease it with 10 points, you get a team plus 26.5.
Yeah.
That's something to look into.
There's a team that'll lose it, it's Houston, though.
Right, right.
100%. I mean, yeah, I mean, they still know they're doing, but yeah, I guess they're called a teaser because it sounds so tempting.
Right. And I guess something else besides the Steelers and gambling, I am most excited this week. Brady and Belichick on Sunday Night Football.
Have they played since?
No, this is like game of the year already, I feel like. Wow. This is maybe the most excited
in Foxborough, I've ever been. Correct?
Yeah, I believe it is in Foxborough.
Yeah.
This has to be the most like anticipated regular season sports event I'm excited for, probably ever. it's a 7-point spread. I'm avoiding it just because simply, what if Belichick does know Brady better than Brady knows Brady? No, what if Brady comes out and wins by 50? Like, I don't know.
There's that great debate, and I know Brady's won a ring outside of New England now, so that kind of gives him the nudge. But they haven't fought head-to-head yet, so that's definitely interesting.
So Tampa Bay is definitely a better team, and Brady is definitely better than Mac Jones and everything. And Arians is a good coach. It's just, it is the what-if factor I see here, and I don't know. Like, I know these guys who have been the best coach and quarterback throughout their entire careers.
Yeah.
I know now that they're finally separated. More now than ever, they want to beat the other one.
Do you think? Do you think with how their history has been, they want this more than a Super Bowl this year? Because it's like I know you never get sick of winning a Super Bowl, but when you both have at least six or whatever, like you kind of want that head.
Brady did say at one point he would have sacrificed a ring, like two rings, in exchange for the undefeated ring.
Yeah.
So like there are instances here. Mm-hmm. I 100%. These guys. I mean, one of them will win a Super Bowl in 2 or 3 years. They don't win it this year at this point, you know. So I think that's a good point. They just may want to beat the other one more than win.
Right. So there's more emotion into it. And maybe, I mean, I don't know. What they're going to do what they need to do to win, and they both know how to win. But I think there's more emotion riding on this game than the average game.
Right. And I'm not I'm really not hoping for a blowout. I'm a Brady fan. I'm a Belichick fan. I really want this to come down to the final drive and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been so excited.
Can Belichick's defense outsmart Brady or whatever? And if it comes down to a scheme thing. What is the
play
calling
every play for New England? Like, I'm excited. You know, I've never been excited to see what defensive play schemes a team is called. Yeah. Like, I'm excited to see what Belichick wants to do to neutralize Brady.
Like, I mean, do you think
he blitz him? Does he drop back in coverage? Like, I don't know.
Do you think offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich will have a lot of input?
I'm sure. I hope
Brady wins, and at the end of the game, he thanks Leftwich.
I could see Leftwich just come into Arians in the meetings. But okay, so Tom said we're going to do this.
Yeah.
No, actually, there are many people around the league who do credit Leftwich as a very good coach and credible source.
I like Leftwich a lot, and he was like the guy you saw, like the Josh Dobbs before Josh Dobbs, is the guy that Ben would talk to. So I would believe that, and you see a lot of backup quarterbacks who make decent coach. I mean, look at Frank Reich.
Right. There's
a lot of decent coaches in the NFL who have been, I mean, Jason Garrett. There's a lot. Jeff
Peterson, was he a quarterback?
I believe so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you see it all the time. Yeah, and Leftwich, too. Best backup quarterback probably in my lifetime for the Steelers, Byron Leftwich.
Yeah.
Just as a side note, he had the release of Tebow, except it was more accurate.
Yeah, well, when it got out, it shot out, unlike Tebow. Tebow had a super long release, and then it was the beach ball, where his was like a long release for a dart. I'm still putting my money on Brian St. Pierre, but whatever.
Brian St. Pierre.
I wonder if Brian St. Pierre has ever played in the regular season.
I think he did, because I do remember it was like my first year watching football. It was like the Steelers were in the playoffs. So they played Maddox, and like they were winning at halftime, so they played St. Pierre instead of Maddox.
In the playoffs?
No, in the regular
season. Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Yeah, Brian St. Pierre in the playoffs.
All right.
And then he, like, went to the Cardinals with every other
season. Oh, yeah, that's right. A long, illustrious career, like Clark Hagans and Chidi Awoma, and I think Sean Morey, and both of them went there. That's the second week in a row, those two.
I don't think I would even be mad. Let's say Ben retires this year, then next year Kyler Murray gets hurt, and then they sign Roethlisberger. I couldn't even be mad.
I don't know. I don't think they would do that because Kingsbury doesn't have the Pittsburgh relationship that Wiz and Hunt and Arians had.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
like James Conner's there now. Like,
that is true. He has to go somewhere, but there's probably assistant coaches. Oh, my God. I can't think of the word. Assistant coaches that, have come through. But you don't see a lot of coaches from Pittsburgh, like the Tomlin tree of guys leave. And become head coaches.
They promote within, it seems. And like,
but it's not like other organizations are knocking down the door to bring in the coordinators. It's not like Randy Fickner is up for Carolina's coaching job.
No. And it's like, I feel like Rooney Sr., he promoted within when it was smart. I don't know if Junior is doing it the right way. Canada, Fickner, I don't like that. Like, when they had Arians, who then left and became coach of the year twice and won a Super Bowl, that's one thing. Dick LeBeau was a good coach as well. Just these other coordinators that they're promoting within, I mean, I didn't see the success except for when Todd Haley was here.
Right.
And that was an outside hire.
Right. He was a head coach before that, though. Like, he wasn't like a Tomlin guy who got hired. He was a head coach and a coordinator with Arizona that came to Pittsburgh. But, like, you used to see Wiz and Hunt up for it, or what's his name? Russ Grimm was up for a head coach. You would see LeBeau up occasionally for that. I mean, you would see guys like that, and anymore it's like the coordinators are garbage. Not that, I mean, as long as you have a good head coach, but it seems like,
I'm all for promoting.
It doesn't seem like other teams respect the coaches in Pittsburgh. Since Munchak left.
Sports is one field where I feel like you don't promote within. If you find a better guy, you get the better guy.
And I think it's good to have a new set of eyes come in and switch things up. Because you get, the same all the time and people know what to expect. And maybe that's the problem with the Steelers right now is everyone knows what to expect.
Yeah, it's a boring team and they're predictable. They're predictable is what I'm getting at. And
I agree.
I have never had such lack of faith in a team, even when we had Duck and Rudolph splitting reps.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they won 8-8. This is, I don't know. I just think I don't see a single unit on the offense that's good.
I agree, JP. We'll end it there. We're at an hour 10, so we'll wrap it up there. We'll check back next week. We appreciate the picks and the insight. Anything you want to leave us with, or can we just expect you back next week?
I'll be back next week. Hopefully Green Bay struggles like they did in week one. They play the way they did. If they play the way they did in week one, Steelers win by field goal.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That would be huge for the Steelers. Going to 2-2, that would completely have a different taste in our mouth. We talked for 15 minutes about the draft already because the Steelers are 1-2. So it shows I guess we're spoiled here. But
it's an expectation, and it's good to be too critical than not. There's too many local yinzers, I like to say, who think Steelers can do no wrong. I criticize them not because I'm trying to like be a tough guy or like not because I'm dumb or anything. Like I'm come from a place where I care, and simply this product, when you look at other teams in the NFL, are better. Right. Denver is 3-0 of Teddy Bridgewater. Like we gotta like this is a bad product.
Well, there's a difference between saying, oh, they suck, and then not offering, you know, what should they do? What if you're like, oh yeah, they're bad, they're garbage, or this, this, and this, without having reason behind it, then you're a hater. Right now it's, you know, tough love. They need to do this and this because we want to see them do well. So I feel that. Sports Guy JP, thank you for the time. Everybody check back next week, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope you had a good time. If you did, be sure to subscribe to the show to catch the latest episodes and share with your friends. And if you just can't get enough, follow us on Instagram at Poor Man's Podcast 412, Twitter at Poor Man's Pod 412, and Facebook. This is Pittsburgh's own Poor Man's Podcast signing off. See you next week.